Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Walking on the Sidewalk. I am your host, psychic medium Kevin Baird. Hi, hello, how are you? Thank you for being here today on this December 16th, 2013. And tonight is about, or partially about, us remembering those who were lost in our past, be they children, friends, parents, relatives, colleagues, co-workers. This is the season of the passing, and it starts usually around October, and then on down through Easter. And then life starts returning to us again, basically. So, and we have to know that the place that they go to is a divine place, and it's likely, based on my perspective over the years of readings that I've done and connecting as a medium to people who have passed away, that that place that they go to is the same place that we go to when we dream. And that place that we go to is eternal. Anything and anybody that sleeps and dreams, whether, you know, how we see dogs running in their sleep, could be whales, dolphins, porpoises, that kind of stuff, they all go to the same place that we go to when we sleep, sort of like maybe an out-of-body thing, but we all go to the same place. So I want to bring our first friend on who's out there waiting in the call queue. Hi, hello, how are you? Are you hearing your microphone becoming unmuted? How can I help
you? Yes, this is Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly.
And hi, are you giving readings tonight or?
I am.
Oh, okay. Okay. I would just like a general.
Okay, sure, absolutely. All right. So the first thing that I see for you is something that you're going to be facing some kind of storm. Like, we got winter storms happening all over the place, and I'm looking at the storms card associated with the time 319, and that you can go to my website, which is at Temple of Gaia, that's GAIA.com, and then scroll down on the menu on the left-hand side, look for the 3 o'clock, and then go and find the 319. You can see what I'm looking at. You can do it now, or you can go back later, listen to an archive, and follow along that way. But when the storms card comes up, it talks about storms that we could face. So it could be personal eye-level kind of storms, where it's us interacting with someone who feels like they need to be all in our face, or just it's snowing, you know, or raining, pouring, that kind of stuff, hailing, that kind of thing. So are you dealing with the winter storm right now? What's going on for you in that deal, situation?
Well, in that instance, I just had a bad breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was your storm?
Yeah.
Now, it's their fault as to whether they see it as a good day or a bad day, because I'm looking at the days card, D-A-Y-S, and it's in reverse, so it's facing away. And the cards that are facing away are about the people, situations, and things happening around us. And the days card is associated with the time 6:10 for you guys out there following along, right? And it shows sort of like the day split down the middle with like a lightning strike. On one side, it looks like someone's having a bad day, and on the other side, it looks like they're out on a nice walk, hike in the woods, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So that is what their deal is. So if you're wondering where they're at, they're maybe being bipolar or flipping back and forth as to how they want to be happy or not be happy. So that's what's happening there. Then a little closer, it looks like something on the job front is lining itself up for you. Are you looking for work?
Yeah, I'm working, but I'm looking for something else.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the profession card, and it's facing away. And so it talks about someone around you, a group or organization, because we're talking about profession, approaching you about some form of employment, and the profession card is associated with the time 7:44. Are you interviewing?
No, not yet. I'm looking at positions to apply for.
Okay. Well, I think somebody from your past may know about you and say, you know, reach out or say, hey, won't you come check us out and see what's happening? And it looks like it could end up being a long-term project.
Okay.
To where it could last some 10 years or something. So it could be like a brand new hospital, if you're a hospital person or something, that has been put together or organized, and then they invite you to go in. So you got all new hallways and examination rooms and recovery rooms and that kind of stuff too. So do you do anything in the medical profession?
No, I don't, but that's what I'm looking at. I'm really mm-hmm. looking at stuff like that. Because biology is my background. I teach right now, but I'd rather be in the medical field.
Well, I think that's what's happening for you there, and I think that it will go up near one of those cheesecake factories. Do you have one of those restaurants around you?
Yes.
So there's a cheesecake factory connection for you also.
Ooh, that's my favorite restaurant.
Well, the reason why I say cheesecake and factory
uh-huh.
is if you go back later, if you're already following along or whatever, I'm looking at the projects card, and it shows somebody working away with a hammer and a chisel at a big block of something. But for some reason, right now, it looks like a block of cheese for me, and it looks like a cheese factory, and that's where I was getting the cheese factory or the cheesecake factory or something.
Okay.
For you for that, too. So, now, it looks like you could find yourself going to an interview to that place, or on a day that you're so busy that you see it, and you want to stop in, but you can't because you're so busy,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to make a note to yourself to stop by there later or when you make some time for yourself or whatever, and it'd be right after that that you go back to the office, and then things just get all dramatic, like inflated, blown out of proportion, because I'm looking at, first, when I'm talking about you being busy, I'm looking at the busy card associated with the time 7:07, and then the things card, THINGS, associated with the time 6:30. So there will be things that will be sort of inflated or being people blowing things out of proportion, and that will let you know that your transition time from working there and going and doing that connection to the new building will begin at
uh-huh.
that time. So it's almost, you're going to feel like you're emerging from the, you're having an immersion from the cocoon, basically, into that new world. So you could definitely see the new career starting then.
Okay.
And just be ready. Alrighty?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And enjoy the rest of your holiday.
You enjoy yours, too.
Okay, bye now. All right, we have our next caller coming up in the queue. You're hearing your microphone becoming unmuted. Hi, hello, how are you? How can I help you?
Hi, this is Suzanne. Thanks for taking
Suzanne.
My phone call. I had a couple of questions, if that's okay.
Sure, help yourself.
My first question, what do you see with my love life?
All right. What do I need to know about my love life or that kind of stuff? So...
Well, I went on
Are you
a
in
blind
one? What? Okay. You went on a blind date? Is that what you're about to say?
Yeah, he seems nice, but I only went on one date. And another person, he likes me, but he's younger than me. I don't know. What do you see with all this?
All right, well, with the first guy, did he tell you what he did? Does he do anything with the court system? Is he a lawyer? Is he in trouble?
No.
Okay. Well, with the first guy, he's got some kind of court activities that are going to be happening for him, and then he's a survivor. So you might see things.
That seems like the first guy that likes me, who's younger, he might have some court things going on, yeah.
Okay. All right. Then there is the second person. It looks like he will be moving from where he lives.
Tell me how to get ESPN. They say that's for the Monday night football game, because I can't find it. And I'm a little heated right now.
What's that noise going on? The other person.
Oh, I see. All right, I thought that I had muted their microphone. How crazy that is. We got overlapping. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Much better. I was like, okay, I was having a crazy time there. Okay, so the second guy, it looks like he's got moving going on.
Well, I don't know if he is. Which guy's
okay.
Second? Because the one I just, you mean the one on first date, he has a house with his daughter and his mother and all that, so I don't think he's moving. I don't know what.
Okay, it could
which
be an office move even as well. So he's got a move coming up. So if you connect with him again in the future and he talks about moving, he's going to also have some things happening for him to where he's going to be recognized for something or an achievement or something happening in his life.
Really?
So, yes. So it might be, you know, he gets recognized or something. Because I'm looking at the moving card in reverse, facing away from you, and it's associated with the time 5/11.
Well,
and
should
it shows,
I tell you their names or anything so you know who's who?
Nah, because
okay.
It's like, you know, when we work as psychics, we work with people who also bring past lives with them, and those past lives also come with names that they were known as, too. Like, have you ever had anybody call you a different name than what your
yeah.
name is? That's a past life name that you had. Then they call you
now,
that.
Now, what about the person I kind of just broke up with last night because he's...
Mm-hmm.
Do you
right,
think he's just
that.
An idiot and forget about him?
Well, I'm looking at that he's a stepping stone, basically, and it looks like he might be... focusing more on things that are happening to the west of him. Could be that he's going to be taking a trip there or someone that he knows comes from there, because I'm looking at the west.
Yeah, you're right. He had an old girlfriend from California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
he,
I would say
why did he blow
no
me
on
off?
That. I would say no on that. Could be the California connection that he has happening.
Why do you think he blew me off?
All right, having a look at that. It might be that you said something that reminded him of something in the past that he doesn't want to revisit.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, the things that we say tend to remind people of their past. And it could be a harmless thing that you said. It's their baggage, not yours. But it looks like you'll be hearing from him tomorrow about something as well. It's like wanting them to make amends or reconnect or something.
Really? Because I just saw him last night, and he said mean things. And he said, I can't stand you. I never want to see you again.
Lord. Well, I'm looking at the haunted card, and that talks about things that people are holding on to, expectations. It's like, oh, it could have been better, it could have been better, it could have been better, and they just hold on to that. That's the haunted thing that they have. And then I'm looking at the tomorrow card. I have a tomorrow symbol, and it's facing towards them. So it says that there could be a good chance that they'll be contacting or connecting with you tomorrow or the day after, really.
And
really
just texting your story or something?
It could be. The symbol shows three people really just showing up. So like the UPS people who guarantee the delivery overnight kind of stuff, that's sort of the message that comes out of that. So it could be any form of communication.
I don't think he's going to. He's pretty stubborn. I just think he's going to forget about me.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you how I see it
okay.
for that kind of thing. But definitely
well,
there is... There is a past life connection for you with him because I've drawn the past lives card with him that's pointing towards him. But he also has some people in heaven that are watching out for him and likes how you interact in his life. So he might have a dream tonight that just forces him to call you tomorrow and repent his sins.
Yeah, I guess I can't make him like me.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, you can only make so many manicottis before you have to give up.
Yeah, you're right. I guess it's just something about me he doesn't like.
And that's okay. We have things that are, you know, that remind us, you know, we're human, and that, you know, just because we like pistachio ice cream with pizza or something might mean that someone else does as well. But I can tell you that somehow someone's going to be sort of reaching out to you very soon about giving you like a license, an authorization, or certificate, maybe a diploma if you've been going to school.
I haven't. No, none of that.
Okay. Well, I'm being shown you being handed a piece of paper as a, it could be like a certificate or a thank you, or like if you're working, one of those pieces of paper that says that outstanding employee for the month or the week or the year or something. Or it could be just
really?
A Christmas bonus. Or it could be a Christmas bonus as well.
Something tomorrow?
Very soon. I see things happening for him and the tomorrow thing, but I read for like the next 90 seconds out to like 90 days. So this looks like it will be happening very shortly. So you could see it this month.
Now, do you see anything with any of the two guys that like me or someone else in the future?
All right, having a closer look at that. It looks like there's some club, group, or organization. Because I'm looking at the tribes card, and that talks about clubs that we can belong to, that people do
things.
Yeah, I
don't belong to me.
It would be one to where they would be reaching out to you. Like, it could be the Rotary Club. It could be, you know, a homeowners association. It could be PTA. It could be something to where people get together and do these things. It could even be, like, you know, the Hell's Angels, as far as clubs go, kind of stuff. So it would be something in that.
I'm moving this week.
Okay. I think that you're going to get approached by a club, a group. So this, with the certificates thing that I was seeing for you, and then this tribes message, and also the past lives thing, I think that you're in a time right now in your life to where you're going to see crazy things happening, like you'll find a $20 bill somewhere, or you'll find lost jewelry, or you just happen to run into a celebrity or something like that, and just you'll feel like your life is blessed based on what I'm looking at here from what the cards are talking about. And that they're saying to just go with the first opportunity that comes to you, because that will be the best one. Because I'm being shown the bloom card, and it shows a butterfly landing on a flower. And when the butterfly gets up in the morning and doesn't go to Starbucks before it goes out and hits the field, it hits the first flower that it comes to, because that's the best opportunity, because it's right in front of it. If you see what I'm saying.
You mean like meeting a man that way?
Yes, and also having other things happening in your life too. Employment.
Well, yeah, you
best
know what it is? The person I went on a blind date with, I was kind of making myself like him.
Okay.
Not that he wasn't a nice person, but.
Yeah, don't rush that, because you'll run out of that steam of trying to make yourself like him to where you'll be so done. You'll be like, oh, my God, how can I, you know, get out of this kind of thing? So it.
And the other one you think is just too young? Or
he's got, I think he's going to end up having something happening to him or for him with the law or the justice system or something.
And then he's just, then what?
Say that again.
But then what's going to happen when that happens?
He'll be a changed man. And that he'll have to tell you the story, and that you might hear more secrets come out that he had been holding back. But you have to do the wait and see thing. I would say let's get the move past you and watch for the things that I talked about. And then let's
okay.
reconnect in like 2 weeks or at the first week in the year of the
oh,
new year.
Hey, one more quick question. Do you ever see my
sure.
son moving back with me?
All right, I'm having a look at that. I would say in the next 90 days, no, because that's all I really read for.
Oh, you don't do past that?
No.
But you do see a man besides these two coming into my life?
I do. I see a lot of activities happening to where you connect with a group to where it could be raining men, you know, excuse the pun there. So, yeah, don't settle. Work to be happier.
Well, I'd like the one. I don't care if it's raining men.
I hear you. But no harm with having options.
True. Yeah, you were real quick. You were right on with that one that I liked. I liked him a lot, but it's like after 2 years, he doesn't like me. Forget it.
Yeah, good. All right, well, let's reconnect later.
All right, thank you. So some weird things are going to happen, huh?
Not weird. Very blessed. You're going to feel like, just like, wow, all this crazy great stuff is happening. I should go play the lottery or something. You wouldn't win the lottery, but it just feels like that good charge is happening.
All right, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. All right, next caller, you're hearing your microphone becoming unmuted. Hi, hello, how are you? How can I help you? Hello? Are you out there?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hello?
Yes,
hi,
I hear you.
This is Nancina.
Nancina?
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. How can I help you?
I'm calling because my husband and I, we are expecting, well, I'm expecting my stepson, his son, to come the 29th of this month, but we're still unsure if his mom's going to send him. Do you get that? She will.
Okay. All right, let's have a look at that. I would say yes.
Yeah?
But it will be in a unique kind of way, or that it might be a little delayed or something.
Okay.
Or that he might come by UPS or, you know, canoe or some kind of crazy unique kind of method, because I'm being shown the agreement card where people are agreeing. Go ahead.
Depending on whether she sends him this month on the 29th, we're going to probably attempt to file custody in January, joint custody. So we're just trying to see whether, because we're putting a lot of hopes on him coming this month.
Okay, that's where that's how the agreement message then is making sense for that.
Through custody?
She will be, it will be a challenge. It'll be a battle because I'm looking at her and her obsessions, and also that you guys will be facing a storm in that. So you'll have your work cut out for you.
Okay.
But definitely an agreement will be there.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right, no problem.
Okay, bye now. All right, next caller, you're up. You're hearing your microphone becoming unmuted. Hi, hello, how are you? How can I help you?
I'm well. How are you? This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. This is Kevin.
Hi. I am just kind of going through some just life-changing stuff in terms of finance, and then also becoming more, I guess, more aware of living opposed to being addicted to survival. And I'm wondering, do you see these changes being supported? I need to start living and not just surviving.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not alone in that survival mode, just so you know. There are a lot of people out there. So let's look at it, like, what is the universe trying to teach you about surviving?
I've mastered it. Mastered it.
Okay. So when we are against all odds, and that's when we're usually surviving things. When we're against all odd things happening, crazy things, barriers, boundaries, walls, obstructions, it's usually the universe trying to send us in a new direction that we are being obstinate about, that we're being a little hard-headed and not wanting to do this thing or that thing. And once we agree, it's like, okay, fine, I'll do this kind of thing. That's when you start to see the flow of positive or positivity start happening for you and improvement. So I draw cards to help with the messages, and I read from the deck I designed over the years. It's called the Horizon Oracle. And the first card that I'm looking at for you is the rising sun, and it's facing away. And the rising sun talks about things that happen in the east, and it's associated with the time 3:16. This means that there's going to be somebody reaching out to you, friend, group, organization, some source from the east, that's going to ask you to consider going there, or they come and visit you just because they're fed up with the East or whatever. Then the second part of this message is the Burdens card, and it's associated with the time 4:40, and it shows somebody who's dragging a bunch of issues, blocks, things that they've been holding on to and just can't seem to let go of. And this is facing away from you also. So this talks about you working with somebody who's just got a lot of issues that they're trying to get resolved. Now, as you work with this person or individual or groups and help them resolve it, then you see that there's something familiar about what's happening in their life or organization that's similar to what's happening to yours, and it gives you ideas to help you with the transition. And that's what we're all going through right now. Everybody's been laid off. We got some 15 million people who are unemployed and quit looking. That's why the job numbers are so high right now, because less people are just going and applying for unemployment. And all those people are at home staring at the walls because they're tired of watching TV, and eventually they're going to get some ambition, get up and start going and doing something and discovering something that really brings about a new transformation for themselves. So usually that segues into like a hobby or a little side work, or you see that the neighbor needs help with something that has broken or busted. You know, I'm speaking from my perspective. So how can you help out with the things that you can see need help and that people are looking for help with that? And with us looking at the Eastern card and the Burdens card for someone who's got issues, it looks like you could have your hands full helping someone else escape something that will be very similar to what's happening for you, too. See what I'm
saying?
Would
I be wrong to say that I'm not interested in solving anybody else's problems right now if it's not anything aligned with what I want to do professionally? Because
yes, that's where free will comes in.
The way I see it is, if I'm going to spend 40 hours working and helping people, it needs to be aligned with who I am internally. Like, I get that there's so many people who are lost, who don't have jobs, and I'm in that same boat, but I'm also in a place where I don't want to work for anybody else. I want to do my own thing and my own passion and do what makes me happy. Like, I've known since I was 15 that I was supposed to be my own boss, and I'm kind of in a place where I'm going on interviews, I'm landing interviews, but I'm not. There's one out of all the jobs that I've interviewed for, there's one that was actually where I could envision myself being, and that's only because it's what I want to do as an entrepreneur, but for an organization, which I'm okay with for a little while. And then I feel like I need to venture out and I need to do my own thing if that's something that they're interested in having me come aboard. But the biggest thing is, I feel like I'm not living. I feel like I'm getting up every day and I'm doing the same thing, and I'm more concerned about my survival. Bills. There's always going to be bills. Lights. Bills. car insurance and just taking jobs just to take a job, just to have a job. That's miserable. That's not the, you're not living doing that. You're just here.
Yeah, it's
and I want
slavery
to get
past in a
the
sense.
Here.
It's slavery
right.
in
and
a
I want
sense.
To get, right, right. And I want to get past the here where I'm actually living. There's too many people out here living. Yeah, there's a lot of people struggling, but then there's also a lot of people
mm-hmm.
who are living. And I need to be amongst the people who are alive.
Got it.
My soul wants to be there. I don't
okay,
know
now,
how to get there, but my soul wants to be there.
Then it's likely
Sorry.
That you would have to move from where you are. Physically.
How so and why?
I'm saying New Mexico, Arizona, Montana area for you, even if it's just going and visiting somebody there and having like a place to like sleep on their couch or something. I'm just using that as a as an extreme possibility. But then that's when you connect with like you take your skills there and that you show that you have value and then they invite you in to be the thriver or a thriver with them. The thing is if you're in a town that everybody is staying inside and just living off of welfare, then you're not going to see them come out and do things that will energize and enable your life as well. Because we're here on the planet to connect with people around us and empower them, and they empower us. And then that's what allows for growth.
No, I don't live in a town where it's like, you know, industrial and trailer parks and welfare. That's not what
okay,
I'm talking
good.
About. What
I'm
referring
I'm just saying,
to
but,
is...
Yeah, go ahead.
Is just what I've done for my own personal, you know, I spent, it took me a very long time to complete both my undergraduate and my graduate studies, and I had to work during that time to do it. But I was taking just any job just to sustain myself, and I've gotten caught on that hamster wheel. I got to get off that. I want to be in a place where I'm living, where it's a life-work balance, where it's meaningful work, that you love what you do. You know, and I know a lot of people aspire to do that, but there's a lot of people who are living like that, and I don't know how to get there. I'm not even going to worry about how to get there. I just know that I need to be there. And, like, I don't
mm-hmm.
I don't know. So it's not necessarily I'm caught in, like, this, you know, industrial city where there's no work and, you know, kind of like a Eminem 8 Mile. I'm not at all. As a matter of fact, I live in Boston, so that's not it. But something's got to give.
What's your degree in?
Marketing and management and communications management.
So like radio or
I can
print
use that anywhere, but ideally mine was more entertainment, music, beauty, fashion.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I want to head with that.
So it sounds like you need your own magazine.
Not magazine, more marketing firm.
For clients who would come in?
Yeah, clients that I'd like to develop marketing programs for them. But ideally, I need to sustain myself in the process. I'm a little too old to be sleeping on people's couches, but I need to
mm-hmm.
sustain myself in the process. And that's where the challenge is coming up. That's where I'm like, you know, do I just jump out on faith and leave my day job and not do this and do what's in my heart to do? I'd love to do that, but I have to be realistic. I still have bills. And that's where the problem is coming up.
Yeah. What I would suggest... Because, see, the thing is that everything that's out there now is being copied 1,000 times over. So you need a new wheel. You need to reinvent a new kind of wheel, if you see what I'm saying, that
mm-hmm.
beats all the others. And then that will create a gravity that will draw clients to you because they see that you are an example of success. If you're not an example, then you don't have a gravity that's going to draw new things to you. So how can you be a new example? How are you different than everybody else? How are you showing that you're different than everybody else? And how are you broadcasting this thing that you're showing, how you're different than anybody else?
Right.
So what you first have to do is market yourself. Then let's just use the magazine as an example. And then it can be online, really, as a magazine, e-zine, whatever, and just start laying that out. The thing is if you need other people to help you realize your dream, then you're going to have a problem. You have to be the chief cook and bottle washer for all aspects of the new you until you get so busy that you have to start hiring bodies to fill in those places that you don't have time to sustain. So you need to get yourself a drawing board, do word associations or something like that, you know, with the little bubbles that string off of bubbles that string off to bubbles and that kind of thing, and give yourself a big mock-up of what your great global plan would be, because you're probably holding it all in your head and things get forgotten, lost, disremembered, and you have to work. Then you have that, like, oh my God, you're sitting at the stoplight. It's like, I forgot about that thing. I got to write it down, but I don't have anything to write it on. So as you're trying to text yourself with it, the light changes, and then you forget about it again. So I use 3x5 cards, and I just carry them with me, and I just make a quick 2-sentence note about something that I feel inspired about that I can apply towards whatever project that I have going on and put it towards the fruition of something significant on down the road. Can you do that?
Okay. Yeah.
And the thing is that you'll always have naysayer days where you'll feel like nothing's going to work and that it's going to just be flat and why should I bother and I should just go back to the old days. And I tell people that whenever you see the yellow bug, the yellow Volkswagen Beetle, that it's like a hug. It's a hug bug. It's a message to don't worry about that because your guardian angel is working on whatever problem you're thinking about at the time that you see the yellow bug and to move on to the next worry or problem. And if you see a second yellow bug right after, if there's a caravan of them, then apparently you're being hard-headed about the thing that you're thinking about and that they're trying to remind you that everything's going to be okay and to focus and move on to the next item. That's how you make it happen.
Okay. Well, thanks for the steps.
Yeah. It's a little tough, and I would say consider using post-it notes. So that way you can move them around and just be one or two word items out there. But yeah, it's, you have a road to pave before you that's going to be a little bit of a challenge and that you have to be your own sort of like pep squad because you won't be able to find anybody that can give you advice because you are inventing a whole new universe and that people will say it can't be done. And I'm here to tell you it can. You just have to stay focused and have ice cream once in a while just to get your mind out of the dumps.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. I'm here usually every Monday about this time. So if you run into a situation or whatever and need a little additional information or whatever, you can look me up here. Also, you can go to my website and find I have stuff that I post there all the time too that can be helpful about just helping people stay ambitious and not be brought down.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Melissa, right? That's your name?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, well, thanks for calling.
And thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, so that was Melissa, and yes, you just have to be, so you have to think outside of the box. I have a card that I refer to as being outside of the box. It's the pen card, P-E-N, and it's associated with the time, 8:40. And if you go and look at the pen card, the primary title for this, or the secondary title description, is Lonesome Freedom. And here it shows a symbol of somebody who's standing outside of what looks like a dumpster or something, and the lid is still up. And they're looking at all the people whose heads and hands are clamoring about as if they're trying to escape. But if you look, the one person that has their head most evident is they're looking a little glum, sadville, not really happy. And if you look, the road that's beside the friend who's outside of the box there with their hands on their hips is a little wavy. So that means that it won't be a straight road, and that there will be some bumps and ups and downs and that kind of stuff as well, and that you just have to cope with it. So then a little further, if we look a little closer at the pen message with the card facing us, it's alone yet unrestricted. And then the description is being finally free from a situation that offered a restricted yet limited reward. And then going further, it says, forget the false comforts of the past and dream about the future, unknown as it may be. Get outside of the box, and we are living a life beyond the corporate cubes now. There are less cubes out there for us to sit and stand in. And that's what sort of like the mission statement or the theme of Main Street Universe is. And then my show, which is Walking on the Sidewalk, is like we're out there on the sidewalk, walking, looking in the shops, seeing who's buying, who's selling this, who's buying that, trying to get some ideas about how we can be a part of that world as well. The new box is on the Main Street and side streets and secondary main streets and all that in other towns, cities, environments, that kind of stuff. And that you just have to keep at it. And when I was telling Melissa about the yellow bug, the yellow Volkswagen Beetle, it's a message that everything's going to be okay and that you just have to, you know, move on, think about the next worry, and leave that other one behind. So, yeah, you're here to do something unique and be an influence upon the world and the planet and the people around you. And how do you make that happen? So, looking a little further, I'm seeing that there is a connection for you out west. So it has to be like New Mexico, Montana, Arizona, up in that area, something happening that could be a beginning for you, and that there is also something about a soulmate's connection as well. So there's a chance, even though you may be in a relationship now, if you see what I'm saying, this is a connection to a soulmate that might be just a day spouse. And day spouses are the people that we spend 40 hours a week with, 9 to 5, but they don't get to wake up and have pancakes with us on the weekends. We get to tell them what we did on the weekend, so long as it's not X-rated. But we just work with them, and that we, what's crazy, and I joke with people about that, is that we spend 40 hours a week with our colleagues and coworkers, and there's usually a primary coworker or colleague that we spend most of the time with, and that they end up really being the spouse in our lives, and I refer to them as the day spouse. So again, Melissa, I want to thank you for calling, and that let's see what happens for you. And that I'm going to segue here real quick into one of Diane Arkenstone's songs, Canyon Dreams, and that you can find out more about Diane Arkenstone by going to dianearkenstone.com. Here's Canyon Dreams.
forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Alrighty, and we're back. So yes, we have a bunch of people, hosts that do shows on our network. We have my show, which is on Mondays, which is Walking on the Sidewalk. Tuesdays, we have Susan Weed, who is the mother herbalist. Amazing content. On Wednesdays is our flagship show, Main Street Universe, the, you know, like the flagship show, basically, and that's where Daniel Michael, who is the president and chief producer of Main Street Universe, hosts his own show. On Thursdays, we have Mother Amaku, and she does things that are of the, Cuban or African, in that sort of religion and philosophies. Then on, let's see, we don't have anything on Friday, but on Friday at midnight, we have Jesse Ann Nichols George, and she does a show called Activating Compassion at the Midnight Hour. And then on Sundays, we have Darren Bouquer, and that he does Spiritual Insight, and that he is a reader out of one of the shops in New Orleans called, gosh, the name escapes me. I should have it on the sheet here in front of me, but just trying to plug all the shows that are out there. We have a full network of things that are happening. We also have a lady who's going to be coming on hopefully soon, and she's of the Starseed thinkers, where we all come from the stars and meet here on the planet Earth, and that we come in our physical forms, live the way that we do, interact the way that we do, and then when it's time for our crossing the path out of the flesh that we're in and go back to our origin, we take the things and the lessons that we've learned. So, yeah, and I wanted to talk about that. That's sort of what our show is about tonight, which is about remembering the people that were lost. And I sort of got on the idea for doing the show about that because I had a client call about 2 weeks ago where she had lost a child that didn't come to full term in the pregnancy, and that there were complications and that kind of thing, and that she said she felt like she was a failure as a mother. Well, the thing is that she did the best that she could do, and that her body was in the best place possible, and that she was living perfection to the fullest possible extent that her body and environment would allow her to do that. But the connection didn't happen. It didn't follow through. It didn't go to full term. And the thing that I would like to remind everybody from a spiritualist point of view is that we come here with a plan to go through the things that we plan to go through as we live our physical lives. But the thing is that when we come here, we search out vehicles, and that's a human body, that closest fits with our plan for what we want to achieve or realize. And there are some times where the higher elders, whether it be God, Jesus, angels, guardian angels, the masters of the universe also want to mix up and put a little bit of a challenge there out there for us to struggle as we live so that we can get the best experience out of the life plan and process and progress that we can possibly achieve. The reason why they mix it up a little bit is because we have to interact with other people who have plans as well, and we sort of crisscross and weave ourselves a web or a tapestry that can be elegant or disturbing. And it all depends on who comes together and what we talk about and what we come up with and the ideas and things and that kind of stuff. So while the child is developing within the mother, it is a life. It's a living, realizing, sensing experiences around it kind of life. But it's forming within the mother based on the environment. What she eats, the kind of music that happens around it, how rugged the life is. Like, is she a boxer? Does she, you know, do steeple chasing where she rides horses all the time? Swimmer, jogger, hunter, fisherman, gatherer. Because the body vehicle that's developing within the mother conforms and forms to what's happening in the physical world, and that the body is influenced, the baby, the child, the developing child within the mother is being influenced by the moods and emotions that the mother experiences, and those are communicated through the bloodstream. So there is the DNA and all that other kind of stuff that floats around in the bloodstream, but there's also iron, because we all have iron in our blood that makes it possible for us to be strong and do the things that we do. But this iron is like the old school cassette tapes, and that it records the things that we realize through our senses onto the blood. And then the blood circulates around the body, and as the science people and the electronics people out there know, that when you rotate iron, like blood rotates the iron in the blood, it creates a magnetic field, and that's what the aura is. Well, this aura is sort of like a radiation magnetic field. You know how you can put your hand up to a kettle and feel the heat as it's warming the water on the inside of it. Our bodies work the same way with magnetic fields. And also our blood is warm, and depending on our temperature, we could be warm too. But this is in a magnetic field sense. So this magnetic field influences the developing child, the child that's within the mother. So it becomes programmed in a sense. So when we as souls are seeking and searching out bodies that come close to the vehicle that we're looking for to help us live the life that we live, we feel the magnetic field and the gravities that are out there that can draw us into and help us connect to a body that is developing. Now, once we discover a body that's developing in a path that seems suitable for what we want and how we want to live, we sort of put our stamp on it. And as it develops you know, it has, sort of like has our name, placeholder, that kind of stuff, so that there aren't any other kind of souls that decide to go in and occupy. And then we go back to heaven, or we go back to the universe and do the things that we did before we got our physical life plan, and just mill about, mingle with all the brothers and sisters that are out there in a non-body universe called the fifth dimension. And then we go back and check the body out and see how it's developing and see that things are going good, and we might hang out for a little bit, a day or two, or if there's something that's happening to where the mother is really enjoying life, we might totally connect and realize that moment. But then when there's other boring times, we might go off and do something else and then come back and reconnect. So it's a back and forth kind of thing. Hanging out in the body, that's the developing child, and then going off and doing something else. Meanwhile, our name, our placeholder, our soul's name is still there so that no one else can come in. And then when, on the day that the body is born, we're there and that we are connected to the body through the silver cord, the spiritual cord. So we can see the body being born, and we are tied to that body as it's born by the cord, sort of like as someone holds the string that's attached to a balloon. So we are, in a sense, having our first out-of-body experience in the physical realm. And then we see the doctors caring for the child. And then we get sucked back in again when there's a drive or an emotional need, whether we're hungry or we don't feel good or whatever. And then we get to experience that stuff and the need to realize. But we can't communicate because we don't have a language. We're coming from a past life where we spoke another language, or that we might have been living as an animal on this planet or another planet. And I'll leave you to research that if you go and read Michael Newton's Journey of Souls, N-E-W-T-O-N. He is a past life regression hypnotist, where he worked with clients where they talked about life outside of the body. So here we are born as an infant, and that we go back and forth tied into the body and realizing things that happen. But then whenever it gets to a point to where we sort of pass out, comatose in a sense, that's when the body goes into a dormancy and sleeping, right? And we, still tied to the cord, are able to go to a point and mill about with our friends up in the ether, if you will. And it goes back to that thing that I was talking about at the beginning of the show. The place that we go to when we dream is eternal. Any living thing that dreams goes to the same place. So if it's chipmunks, bears, squirrels, I don't know about fish, but I think that anything that dreams, I'm pretty sure, goes to that eternal place. Because anybody that sleeps, anything that sleeps, has an off time. And the body you know, your dreams that you have, you, like, have dreams of just crazy things that happen or normal things that happen, or you dream about places that you've never been to or aren't familiar to you, but you're there and existing in it. And then you wake up and boom, you're back with an awareness of your surroundings and your environment. And then back to sleep again. And the thing is sleep is necessary. When you deny yourself sleep, you delay your soul's plan and progress. And sometimes it's necessary, you know, to get the physical things needed to sustain the progress in the physical life. You've got to do that. But every chance that you get, try to sleep. And some of you may say, oh, I don't dream when I sleep. You dream, you just forget. And it's that forgetting that we all get injected with, this what spiritual chemical or something that causes us to forget our past lives. So we don't bring the baggage most times, unless it's karma, and that's another show topic completely. We start fresh so we can experience new things, go through the things for the first time again. And children help their parents realize things for the first time again. Experiencing ice cream, stubbing your toe, stung by a bee, all that. But we forget, or supposed to forget, our past lives. And there's that window after we're born out to about 3 to 4 years of age, depending, that some of us as children will start talking about the way that we lived before, or that we'll start talking in another language that somebody in the room recognizes as German, Yiddish, you know, Arabic, Farsi, Swahili. But then, as we groom the child to say, hey, you can't be doing that, that's weird, you can't be doing that, it gets turned off and left behind. And that's when part of the cleansing happens then as well. And that the Bible even talks about children up until the age of 5 are not responsible for the sins that they commit. And I think the people that wrote the Bible back then were putting together an instruction manual for how to be the best possible person possible, and that they injected penalties if you did not do that. And they talked about the after place, the place that we go to when we dream, and the place that we go to after we pass away. The after place. So when a developing child within a mother ceases to function, that the life of the body has ended, but the soul moves on to like the next opportunity. And that could be within the family, where the sister becomes pregnant instead of the other sister. Or the neighbor across the street becomes pregnant, and that the child of the neighbor interacts with your child, and that somehow they end up, you know, gravitating towards you and your family, and that your daughter could end up marrying their son. And then when your daughter marries, you gain a son. You know that rule. And when your son marries, you lose a son. This child, this soul, was able to connect back to you by going in through different parents but connecting with your daughter as a playground friend and going coming up through school, right, and going to proms and plays and sporting events. And I've had client sessions to where that information had come out based on the people who are in spirit, who sort of manage everything, the guardian angels of the family. There are some angels that are known as bloodline guards and guides and guardian angels, that kind of thing, where they watch over and make sure that bodies are born in the right sequence within the bloodline. And that gets even more complicated and stuff for other shows too. But back to it, if a child is lost in the womb, the mother is not the failure. The body that the mother is connected to, just like she has out-of-body experiences when she's sleeping, but still connected to her body, the body of the child that was developing within her was not functioning properly for the soul's plan to achieve and realize the things that they want to achieve as a part of that body mechanism. Then there are people who are give birth to birth defected or birth adjusted or bodies that are out of normalcy. I don't want to really label it as being a bad thing, because look at people who have Down syndrome. There are millions of them, and they are fantastic people. And to put this in perspective, if you were born like you are onto a planet of where the normal society were people with Down syndrome, then you would be the birth oddity. If you were born on a planet where the primary species were Down syndrome types, then you would be the disabled person, and you would be seen as the oddity. Look at Stephen Hawking, the famous astrophysicist. He has cerebral palsy to the point to where he is not functional enough to where his body can survive, but his mind is so vast, it's a nebula of wisdom and intelligence. And he's making it work. And the thing is that the masters of his universe, who set things in motion before he was born, twisted his programming of his body type just enough so that he would not be able to realize the most perfect human experience with the highest possible intelligence and the highest possible abilities. They twisted a little bit to make him appreciate what he has and that he's living it, he's making it work, and that we can do the same thing. So the place that we go to when we dream is eternal, and the number of souls that we can meet there is infinite. So if you've lost a child either before birth or after they were born at some stage, know that they lived their experience to the fullest possible experience and that it was time for them to move on, or the higher keepers of how we live here decided that the timing was right for them to no longer be on the planet with us, no matter how dire and horrid it could seem. There was a story about a young girl who woke up after having a fever and said that her mother was going to die in 2 years, and that her mom did, in fact, die in 2 years, but it was in a fatal car accident. Planned exit from the family group, friends group, organization group. It's sad and it's hard to let go, but we always have to know that we can meet on the other side. And the other part of that is you can't hold on or stop living your life because they stopped living theirs. I've gone to visit with my Civil War research. I've gone to Civil War cemeteries in Northern Virginia. There is one that's on the other side of Richmond, on the, let's see, on the west side of Richmond, that has some couple, 10,000, probably 10,000, I forget the number, of Civil War buried people there. But as I visited that place, I also got to become aware of people who were haunting the cemetery. And these weren't the people who were buried there. These were the people who were so sorrowful that this person was lost that they hung out around their grave and that they stopped living their life and that they just tended to the grave again and again and again. And then they expired, they passed away, and that in death, their soul decided to hang around and tend to that grave. They became haunted about the loss. I'm thinking about it as, like, I remember hearing wagon wheels and horses doing their sounds, you know, whinnying and all that kind of stuff. I could hear the chains on the wagons. When we hold on to people who have passed away in woe, if we're in woe and we hold on to them and their memory, then that anchors them here to where they're not able to move on and realize the next layer of their experience for their soul's journey. So we keep them here until we expire, and then they're like, okay, see you later, I'll catch you on the other side kind of stuff. I once had a client call where it was just over the phone kind of reading, and I started with just the regular, okay, this is where my career is going and relationship and everything. But then I stumbled a little bit, and I said, I think that there's somebody else here who has something to say. And I said, they're saying something that sounds a little weird to me, and I asked them if they spoke another language, and they said they did. And then I said, well, someone is saying Rahuda Ma Urara Hirashu, or something like that. And she had the long pause there, and I said, did I say something that makes sense to you? And she said, yes. And I said, what was it? And I was like pulling teeth here trying to get her to talk about what I said. And she said, you told me that I was going to go to hell in my language. And I said, what is the language? And she said, it's Farsi, and that I'm Muslim. And I said, oh, really? Wow. With that, the lady said, and I said to her, I'm like, well, it can't be that you're going to hell. It has to be something else there. And then whoever was on the other side said, someone else on the other side said, like Gahara Ura Mahira or something like that. And then the lady said, oh, my God, I know who's doing that. That's what my uncle does, and that's my aunt. Before she passed away, she said she called me over for dinner and that she was worried about going to hell. And I said, well, apparently your aunt is stuck in the place between heaven and earth and that she's worried about going to hell still. And I said, you need to say something to her, like say a prayer and tell her how wonderful she is and that she doesn't deserve to go to hell and that she's fine, and just pray for her. And the lady is sobbing. She's like, doing that Muslim prayer kind of thing. And then she paused. And I said something else. I said, like, Rahuda Madash. And the lady busted out, full on crying, hysterics, and the sister in the background is saying something to her in Farsi, and they're going back and forth with the Muhuda Mahuda, and then the sister is like, and then I'm like, what are you guys talking about? What? And she said, you told me I kiss your face. And I spoke that in Farsi to her, and that her aunt had said that. So that told me, and that told her, that when we say things out loud, when we pray for the people that are in heaven, that they hear us, and that it has power. So we only exist in this body to go through the things that we go through, to love, to hate, to lose, to gain, and learn the things that we're supposed to. But just because somebody dies doesn't mean that we were a failure. There are the bad things that are happening out there, the murderers and all that. Those are bad people, and that's a whole different subject. But if you're as good as you can be and the life was lost, you're not blamed, and heaven doesn't blame you. So we're at the end of another show. I can't believe how fast it has flown by. I want to thank you guys for listening, and I will catch up with you here next week. Same bat time, same bat station, right? So until next week, you guys take care. Bye.